Welcome to our podcast. We're going behind the infamous blue signs of North Mississippi Health Services to connect you with important resources, hot topics, and information offered by our very own experts. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out Castos for more episodes.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Diana Duffy with the Cybersecurity Group, and welcome to today's Cybersecurity Lunch and Learn. We really appreciate you spending this part of your day with us. Our very own Chief Information Security Officer, Phil Alexander, will be speaking to us today regarding how to tell real news versus fake news. And without further ado, Phil, I will hand it over to you.
So appreciate you guys joining us today. Very big topic, I think, that causes a lot of heartburn and headache in families around the Thanksgiving table, I'm sure, when it comes to fake news, whether it's politics, religion, money, whatever it is. But there's more to it than just politics or religion or whatever. There's some direct implications to you and your family, your money, and that sort of thing. And we're going to talk about that today. So we'll dive right in. First, I want to kind of lay a definition or a foundation of what we're talking about, because, you know, I kind of did what we're going to be talking about today. I kind of hooked you in a little bit with the term fake news, and yet we're not really going to just talk about fake news, because it's really not fake news necessarily, because it's not news. It's false information. And so this definition, the first two bullets are definition out of Wikipedia, and it's just misleading or fake information. I like the third bullet, really. I got this off of another site, which is really what everybody's trying to move towards, which is false information, which can be news or stories or hoaxes that created to deliberately misinform or deceive the readers. So don't just think fake news meaning a news story, although they use those as well. It's a lot of different things, and we're going to get into the different types today. There's something called clickbait, satire and parody, misleading headlines, misleading or manipulated content. And we're going to take each one of them. I'll show you some examples. We'll define them. And we're going to talk about why, and then we're going to talk about how you can tell each one of these, how you will know if something is, misleading or misinformation versus real. Starting off with clickbait, these are stories that are deliberately fabricated, usually to gain some more visitors to a website. So if you've ever had a website, and you're trying to sell content on there, like, so let's say you have advertisers on that website, the more people click on that website, the more money you generate from your advertisers. And so they increase revenue by doing that, by you clicking on that website. Whether or not you read that information or not, they generate that revenue. And it's the same way as a Facebook site. So there may be a Facebook group that posts these fake or misleading or sensational articles. And when you click on it, they're getting paid by advertisers. The more people click on those, it's amazing. And there's a number of reasons why advertisers will pay for that information. And we'll get into that in a little bit as well. Diana and Russell, if I don't get back to that, remind me. But there's a number of reasons why they do it. But one of them is just to make money. And how they make money is different ways. So let's look at some examples of clickbait. These can be on a legitimate site like CNN or Fox News down at the bottom. They'll have a ton of these a lot of times, of these clickbait sites. I love the one in the middle, you know, the money-making secrets that banks don't want you to know, right? Or the three things doctors don't want you to know about your health or something. Those are sensational, headlines that get you to click. And a lot of times, many, many, many times when you click on it and you get to the article, it's not as sensational as the headline leads you to believe. And a lot of times it's quite the opposite, or to be a short article with nothing really serious. And even if it is, like the other one where it says these 12 impossible pet rescue stories that melt your heart, they're not impossible pet rescues. There are a lot of times that there'll be normal pet rescues, and it'll be sappy little stories, but they're not, oh my goodness, you know, and it's not melting your heart. It's just cute little puppies. And so you're feeling good. And so it's like, why would they post that and try to get you to click on it? Again, the more they do that, the more they're getting paid for you clicking on those ads. And you say, well, why would somebody pay them to post these stupid stories and just to get people to click on it. The thing is they collect this information. So they collect you and your persona online. So the more you click on these things, they gather this information and say, how susceptible are you to clicking on these fake little stories on the bottom of CNN or Fox News or any website really out there having all of these? And by the way, Fox and CNN aren't producing these. They're not selling them. They sell the ad space around their sites to an ad company, and the ad company then sells it out. So a lot of times Fox or CNN or any other news organizations or any website out there, could be Kohl's, could be the Journal or whatever, they don't have control over that web space, that advertising space. They sell it to an ad agency. And so the ad agency is making money by selling these ads to these folks who then collect that data. And they say, well, let's see, this person continues to click these clickbait things that are just kind of sappy or whatever. Then they will then serve up more of these to you via, let's say, social media, and they will sell that information, say, this person is more likely to click on these kind of ads. I'll sell that to, let's say, political action committees that during the election cycle, then they can then target you with sensational political ads, or they'll sell them to legitimate advertising companies like car companies or furniture, whatever, knowing that the kind of ads you will normally click on. It reminds me of a couple of years ago, or not more than a couple now, but a number of years ago, Walmart got in trouble because they made a deal with Gillette, where you would go in, you'd buy a razor, you get to the checkout, and of course they have the security, quote unquote, security cameras at all of the checkouts, supposed to be for security. But what was happening is when you would scan the Gillette razor, then the camera was taking your picture and sending that data to Gillette. It sent your picture, a picture of you, and what type of Gillette razor you purchased, so they could use that for demographic data, right? So even though they weren't targeting you per se, they were looking, saying, hey, a 30 to 40 year old white male buys this type of Gillette razor, so we're going to target our ad campaigns towards that demographic or whatever. On these clickbaits, unfortunately, because you're logged in to your computer, and they know that, they can see that, they are going to then target you by clicking on those ads. So clickbait is one of those first examples we talk about. The next one is called satire or parody. Not everything is malicious intent. This is no intention at all to be bad or malicious. That's just meant to be funny. Satire has been around, since the Middle Ages. A lot of the original drama that was done on stage was all satire, political and religious satire. And so like Shakespeare, he did a lot of satire, not meant to be real. It was meant to be, show. And so like I put a couple of examples there. There's a website called The Onion. If you go there, it looks like it's a real news organization, but they put out all this, satire, parody. Again, not fake news, it's just satire. Now, it's so real looking that CNN got caught one time sharing some of their stories as real. The Chinese government got real mad at the United States one time because they thought one of the Onion News stories was real. And so, it does look real, but if you read the article and get past the headline, then you find that it's just a lot of comedy in there. So satire and parody are some. So here's one right here from The Onion, back when Bush was in office, President George W. Bush. Bush urges nation to be quiet for a minute while he tries to think, and so they make fun of current events. So they would have something with presidential candidates or different things like that. Again, not real, but it sure looks real from the newspaper. So satire and parody is another one. Moving on to misleading headlines. These are stories that are not completely false, but they have that sensational headline to get you to click on or go into that article to read it. And so it's misleading. I'll give you an example. Here's a couple of examples. Take it to the bank. Senator Elizabeth Warren wants to raise the minimum wage to $22 per hour. Well, if you just read the little bit of the article right here that I clipped out, she doesn't say that in the article. It's not what she said. She said, if we started in 1960 and said that productivity goes up, blah, 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 then we would have to, then the minimum wage today would be at $22 an hour. And so if you read the article, they're not even twisting the article in any way. They're actually saying what she's saying, but the headline makes it look like something else. And so we live in a world of 20-second sound bites where we read a headline and we run off with it. We read a tweet and we run off with it. We share a meme and take off, and we don't take our time to do due diligence. And so, I'm gonna invoke a little scripture here if it's okay. Hopefully I don't get in trouble for that. But you know, there's a scripture that I like when I think about these kind of things. It's study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I think that the thing here is I think it goes on talking about being led to be a fool. And I think if we don't take our time to read past the headlines, we can be in trouble. Look, can implants, underwear, bras cause breast cancer? Experts have all the answers. They're not saying it does, but boy, they sure make it twist the headlines, right? And then you go, wow. And if you don't read the article, I guarantee the article says no, right? But if you don't read the article, what will happen is you'll go off and say, I saw this article where they talked it might cause cancer, you know, these bras with the wires under them. And so that's the sad thing. It's just what it is. It's trying to get you to click and read the article. And then the last one I'll give you an example of is that misleading or manipulated content. Sometimes it's just imagery. So especially a lot of the memes out there, I see a lot of memes on social media where it's a celebrity or a politician or somebody famous have their picture and they'll have a quote. Sometimes they'll have their name. A lot of times it's just a quote unquote or just have a saying. And so it makes it look like that person said it when in fact it's not. It's not that person at all. But sometimes they go too far and they'll actually put quotes and they'll put the person's name, which is not true. So for instance, here's one that's really popular on social media. It's been around for a long time. When the speech condemns free press, you are hearing the words of a tyrant. When the speech condemns free press, you're hearing the words of a tyrant, Thomas Jefferson. He never said that. Now, there's some truth maybe to the quote, right? Maybe that is truthful. Maybe you believe that concept, but that doesn't make it true that Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, said that. And because the human nature is that when you put somebody's quote, you put their name, somebody famous like Thomas Jefferson, who's revered and popular, then we tend to believe it more. We tend to gravitate to it. We tend to pass it along more if it's somebody that we like or that the crowd or the culture likes. And so you have to be careful that a lot of these going around on social media with quotes of famous people that are not necessarily true. So why did they do it? Well, someone trying to make money, regardless of the content of the article, right? So like I said earlier, they, you know, clickbait where they're clicking and they just want you to click the article so they get paid per click. That's one way they make money. The other way is that, you know, where they, if you click on it, then they record how much time you spent there. They record when you clicked it. They recorded all this information and who you are. They know your IP address. They know a little bit about you. That might even scrape your social media. They might scrape a lot of stuff from your online presence and then compile that information and sell it to these other ad agencies that then target you, right? So I'm sure you're like me where you'll surf what I hate is I accidentally click on something on social media. So for instance, if I'm in the Facebook marketplace and I click on a bicycle, you know, I didn't mean to, but my thumb, you know, opened up an ad for a bicycle or something, then all of a sudden Facebook starts sending me advertisements for bicycles, that sort of thing. And so it learns pretty fast and pretty quickly. This isn't somebody sitting behind a computer doing this. It's algorithms and it's very, very intelligent today. Gathers that and then serves you up that content in a very quick way. But then again, the other thing is they'll take all that information and they will sell it to companies, your information. And that's why you'll get things in the physical mail as well. And you're like, how in the world did they know? And it's because they sell that information to other companies, political action committees, religious groups will buy it. I've seen businesses go online and buy this information as well. There's a ton of ways There was a company, a pretty large company here in the United States, a number of years ago. They got in trouble because they were buying the information and they were targeting their own staff, trying to find out that online habits of their staff. And so there's a lot of reasons why they would do it. The satirist, the people who write satire, they just either want to make a point or entertain, or sometimes both. So they're not necessarily malicious or you know, being bad. They just want to either make a point. Sometimes satire is about making points. Shakespeare's satire a lot of times was trying to make a political point. It was funny or it was drama, but it was making a point, or sometimes it's just about entertainment. Poor and untrained journalist. Today, I was just talking to somebody today about this. We have a 24-hour news cycle. Used to, if some of you may remember this, if you're old enough, you remember the nightly news would come on at 6 p.m. and it still does, I think 5:30 or 6 or whatever, and you'd have 30 minutes of that news cycle. And so the editors and publishers of that had to be very conscientious of the stories they ran because they only had so much time. Now we have 24-hour television, and we have 24-hour computers, internet, Facebook, social media, Twitter, et cetera, that we've got to fill the content all the time. And so they're constantly just putting out stuff. And what most people don't realize is that they are just like any other industry. They're trying to hire as many people as they can to get this content, to grab the content, to be the first one out the door with the information. If they make a mistake, used to it was egg on your face if you made a mistake and said something wrong. There was some journalistic ethics back in the day. Most of that's gone away. And I'm not trying to be political. It's just the facts that comes along with that 24-hour news cycle. And so you have to be real careful about this news today. The other thing, too, is in the old days, news used to be news. And then you had, if you remember the old days of the newspaper, and I think they still do in the newspaper, the front page was the news, the second page or the third page was the opinion section. Well, today, the opinion section has moved to front page, not necessarily in the physical paper, but on the nightly news and 24-hour news cycles, especially the CNN's, Fox's, the MSNBC's. It's breaking news, and most of that is opinionated. I'm telling you my opinion rather than news. And so you do have to be careful on social media. You have to be careful on the internet. You have to be careful, even the quote unquote news agencies today, that you are rightly dividing what's opinions. And there's nothing wrong with the opinion section, but you have to be careful of that versus actual news. Then there's the partisans who just want to influence political beliefs. We talked about that, policymakers. And then, of course, the last one is, you know, embedded in all this could be malware. So, for instance, a number of years ago, the number one infected website on the internet was CNN.com. And again, it wasn't CNN. It was those ads that were being served up along the edges of CNN were just infiltrated with malware and viruses. And so you clicked on one of those salacious header ads and you click on it and malware got dropped on your personal computer and they would steal your information. So it's a number of reasons why they're doing it, and we've just got to be careful. So let's talk about, how do you tell? How do I tell if something's real or fake? One of them is considered the source. Now, again, I'm trying to be apolitical here. It's not a political statement when I say consider the source. You know, generally speaking, CNN, MSNBC, regardless of your political sway, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, ABC, CBS, NBC, the major networks still have editors. They still have boards of directors, and they can still get in trouble for doing things or saying things wrong. So, you know, generally speaking, if one's going to cover it, they're all going to cover it. And so if the source is from a legitimate news organization, then it's probably safe to say it's true. Now, they can spin it. I'm not saying anything about spinning the truth a little bit, but the story itself. Like, I've heard this before where people say, the news media won't cover this. They won't cover it because it's not real. It's not true. And so be careful getting caught up into that. I got this from this site, this website over here, this underground website. Be careful with those. I'm not saying there aren't some out there may be true. I don't know. But the point is, I do know that if it's a true story, at least there's enough of our major news networks today that are conservative and liberal that somebody's going to cover it at some way if it's truthworthy. And so consider the source whenever you're looking at it, if it's a website, that sort of thing. And so that bottom box down there are other sites reporting it. It's the same thing like, oh, no, this one site, they report it because they go undercover and they do these things. Sure. I'd be careful with that. When it comes to fake information where you're clicking and you're reading stuff and it's going to influence things, it's best to go in some ways with what is common and mainstream. Read beyond the headlines. This is, you know, very important. I know it's hard to do because we're in that quick soundbite era where we want our news in 20 seconds and move on. We want to just scroll with our thumb and hit the headlines. That's how we ingest information today in this social media age. But be careful because the headlines don't always match the content. So check the read beyond the headline when you start reading. You go, oh, that's what they're talking about. I can't tell you how many times I get frustrated when I go past the headline and go, that's not what they're saying. And then I get frustrated that I even clicked it. Check the date. Here's one that's always fun. I love this. The date of the story, right? So, for instance, they'll take a burning building, or they'll take something, some old story that's real, a story that actually happened, or they'll have a picture of a president, you know, standing by a plane or holding a child or some event that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, and they will put the story of something going on today, right? That has nothing, that's not even the same one. They'll have a flood, you know, a bunch of cars being washed in, you know, down the street or something, and they'll say, you know, the city's flooding, the president's not doing anything, you know, look how dumb this president is, or the governor or the mayor, you know, of this town is not doing anything. And yet the imagery is not true, or the story is old, and they make it out like it's brand new. I've even seen the stories be, the entire story is true, the pictures, the content of the stories, but the person who's involved, you know, whether it's the president, mayor, or whatever, isn't even the same. So the story, let's say, would be the mayor of Chicago, and they take the story and make it about the mayor of Philadelphia, right? Same story, same everything. They just pass it around, make it out like it's that current mayor, and yet it's not true. And so you have to be careful. So check the date of the story. Make sure that story really did happen recently. Check the URL. We teach this all the time, and with our phishing emails that come into the email, right, is that check that URL. Where's it coming from? So like on this example, abcnews.com.co, most of the news stories should start, or any of the websites should stop with .com, .org, .net. And you may have a slash, forward slash, or backslash, and then a bunch of stuff after it. But if it has another dot, like .com, .co, or .dt, or some other dot something, it's coming from something else. That's not true. That's not real. It's they're spoofing or making it look like it came from ABC News, and that's not true. So be careful there. Sloppy or writing or poor journalism. You know, again, most of the major networks, even online, they have journalistic ethics that they have QA whenever they send stuff. So if you're reading an article and it's just sloppy writing, poor journalistic ethics, then it's safe to say it's probably not true, you know. And so you have to watch that as well. Or if it's very opinionated, you know, this is stupid, I hate this, blah blah blah. If it was me, that kind of just, I'm going to talk like I'm on the block, you know, and I'm going to talk like you're my brother. Journalism doesn't teach that. That's not what we do anymore. We've never done that, and we still don't do it. So be careful with that. Is it opinion page or news? We talked about that, and then use the fact checker. So here's three sites that I like. If you want to check a news site, use a fact checker. So politifact.com is one, snopes.com, and factcheck.org. Those are three good websites where you can take the news story, go out there, and find out if it's true. They do a really good job of checking a lot of that fake news. But I would just say, just, you know, caution when you're reading things online, when you're listening things, even on the radio, when you're listening to things, who's it coming from? What's their spin? What's going on? What's the motivation? Keep your eyes on that. You can always check out our website at cybersecurity.nmhs.net. And I would say on our website, there's a lot of tools and tips and tricks for you at home. Those things on there, like how do I protect my children online? How do I surf safe? How do I encrypt my data or secure my personal data? A lot of that stuff is free. Free antivirus. Don't buy antivirus. One of my pet peeves. We've got some links out there on how you get free antivirus. Other things, check out our website. We'd love to get your feedback on all of that. We also have a blog, fishmarket.nmhs.net, where you can go and get information on phishing emails. How do you know if an email is real? We have actual real screenshots of real phishing emails that we've received. We'll circle and put highlights and tell you why this email is fake. Check those out. We also have articles on there about other stuff. As any time, you can always email me, palexander@nmhs.net, or anybody on my team for that matter, for any questions or information you need.
Bill, we do have a question. Mary Jo Beeman has asked, is there a general site to remove your name from mailing list?
Oh, great question. The answer is there used to be. Unfortunately, it's gotten out of hand today. And so the general answer is no. Once you get put on a mailing list, you can remove yourself from, if you know the originator. So if you know one that's sending you something, you can go get put taken off of that. But by the time you get putting on one mailing list, you're most likely they have sold that information to multiple companies, and you will continue to get plethorized with that. One thing I will say is that if it's emails you're getting from a mailing list, you're getting a dump bunch of information, you can still go to that email. You open up the email, go to the very bottom of any email, and by law, they're required, if it's legit, required to go at the very bottom, and there's a unsubscribe or, you know, remove me from your list. And I would keep up with that, keep removing yourself off there. And if you keep those clean, after a while, that also, that algorithm also starts taking effect. And eventually you'll get taken off if they see that you're not. But the more people click those emails, they send you something, you get put on more lists. So if you've just been on a couple of them, you're starting to get that stuff. If you unsubscribe and don't click on any more, you'll eventually wean yourself off of that, right? And you don't get them anymore. A good question. Let me just say that don't ever feel bad about asking the question about cybersecurity. Most of us, myself included, are old enough that I didn't grow up with a computer. There was no computers in our homes when I grew up. Cell phones did not exist. And so this is relatively new for our generation and the older generations. And so this is a new phenomenon, and it changes even rapidly for even some of the younger generations. This stuff is just going crazy. And it's exploded. And so it's almost impossible for us to know everything there is to know about this stuff. So don't be afraid to ask questions. There's no dumb questions, I promise. Other people probably have the same question you have. So feel free to reach out to us. Okay, if there's no other questions, we appreciate you guys joining us today. And as always, check out our website, our blog, or email us if you have any questions.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you for listening. We're here to support you and are so glad you chose to spend time with us today. We hope this podcast helped you understand what Connected feels like. Please don't forget to check back at Castos for more episodes.